This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, the Beatles and Metallica together at last. But first, when you think of Nevada, it's probably the bright lights of Las Vegas that come to mind, but it was bright lights of another kind that once made the state notable. In the 1950s and 60s, 100 atomic bombs were detonated above and below ground in an area known as the Nevada Test Site. Now there's a new museum dedicated to those tests and the state's role in winning the Cold War. NPR's Luke Burbank has more.
For a museum dedicated to the subject of nuclear explosions, the new Atomic Testing Museum in Las Vegas sure manages to keep it fun.
Dr. Strangelove.
Or, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and
Love the Bomb.
Flat-screen TVs play clips from Dr. Strangelove and other atomic-era programs, while patrons walk through a series of tight hallways which give the museum the feel of a real testing facility. Behind a glass display are lunch boxes, shot glasses, and countless other pop artifacts that reference the atom bomb. But just when you start to feel like you're in one of those 1950s kitsch stores, you enter a cement bunker called Ground Zero.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The benches start to shake as a silent flash of white bursts on the video screen in front of you. After a few seconds, the imaginary shockwave reaches you, and fans blast you with air. The gust is so unexpected that it's actually scary. What's also scary is the awesome destructive power of a nuclear explosion.
So you watch this wall of dust, very thin dust, racing across the desert at you, and of course when it gets to you, that's when you hear the first noise from the explosion.
Bill Johnson directs the museum. He's an archaeologist by training who had been studying prehistoric artifacts when he saw a news item about an effort to preserve the original Ohio location of the Kent State shootings.
And I thought, well, it's not very old, but it certainly is important, which got me to thinking that there's a lot of places that are not very old, but are very important.
That thought led him to spend the last decade studying the relatively new artifacts left behind at the Nevada test site. He's hoping the museum will help preserve that history, but it's a history Colleen Hill would just as soon forget.
Half of the neighborhood kids that I grew up with either died of immune-related cancers or developed immune problems before the age of 40.
Hill is a self-described downwinder, one of hundreds of thousands of people who claim they were radiated by fallout from the tests. She grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah in the 1960s and started having problems with her immune system when she was 28. Doctors eventually diagnosed her with primary immune deficiency, a disease associated with exposure to high doses of radiation.
It affected me financially a great deal. I never married because I never felt that it was fair to burden somebody with a sick wife, unable to have children.
Hill's younger brother died of lymphoma, and her sister had lupus. These days, her closest companion is Lexi, an 11-month-old puppy. Hill sees the museum as an affront to anyone sickened by fallout from the tests. Even worse, she says, is the minimal mention of downwinders.
I think they should interview some of the people who have been affected by it and show how it's affected their lives. Show the number of people who died from the cancers from it.
But just how many people were actually affected by the fallout has proven hard to determine scientifically. Museum director Bill Johnson calls the downwinders an important part of the history of atomic testing. Still, he says,
we also have to recognize that this is put together by the Nevada Test Site Historical Foundation, which is made up mostly of veterans of the atomic test site. Well, their voice ends up being heard the loudest. It's like any museum.
Johnson says he hasn't ruled out giving downwinders their own display, but as of right now, the only mention of the American downwinders is during a short film that comes after the simulated nuclear blast.
I don't doubt that the test site contributed to the end of the Cold War and kept us out of some kind of hot war with the Soviet Union, but I certainly will not say that it's worth the price of contaminating or radiating people who worked at the test site or lived downwind of the test site or worked at other nuclear facilities.
The woman speaking on the film is Dina Titus, a UNLV professor and staunch critic of the testing program. Her book, Bombs in the Backyard, is for sale in the museum's gift shop for those not too distracted by the Albert Einstein action figures. Luke Burbank, NPR News.